It's the headlines with the war and the rains that have got the market's attention today. You're listening to the American Ag Network, and good afternoon. I'm Susan Littlefield. Jacob Burks joins us today with agmarket.net, and I think we want to start out with the rains because we do get another crop progress report out this afternoon. Eastern Corn Belt got some more moisture again over the weekend.
Yeah, you would love to start out with the rain because you're wanting some. We would not want to start out with the rains because we've been getting a lot of it. So, no, we're here locally in the southwest corner of Wisconsin that we did get right in the middle of, I think we've had over almost 9 inches of rain here in the month of April. And a lot of it came over here over the last 4 or 5 days. So, you know, it is very amazing, though, talking to these guys, what wind and a little bit of sunshine will do. You get guys that have, just started back in the field here this afternoon, on the nose, on the ridges, but still, getting back in there a lot sooner than what they thought they would have been. But yeah, you look across the 10-day of the last 72 hours of precip. I mean, there's definitely a channel where you can go all the way down to towards the eastern part of Kansas and up through Michigan, and it has a solid profile of rain. And then if you look in the forecast, that's kind of where it's staying too in that area. You're not getting a lot of variation between that central, I would call it more central to eastern part of the Corn Belt, but that western Corn Belt is still looking at some severe drought situations that have no good forecast in sight.
So looking at it, do we see any surprises that we might see in this report this afternoon? I mean, they said like some of the initial talk was like maybe 18% of the beans should be in the ground.
I think that it's going to be, fast. I mean, pace. But I still, to this point in middle of April, we're not hearing a lot of rumblings about any type of fears of delay or problems or anything. I mean, we're going to be, getting this stuff in the ground at record pace again, mainly because, like I think you'd mentioned when we were offline, that farmers have become pretty daring, if you will, at putting some beans in the ground on a cold, wet soil and hopes and anticipation that they can handle that. And they're kind of modified to where they can see, that not being such a detriment. So, they're getting pounded in. And I think that as soon as we drive up, I think, there's a guy sitting at the racetrack right now just ready to go, right at the barn doors, ready to get out there and get going here locally.
Then we also talked a little bit about these headlines because our oil prices and the continued change, the stock market change, there's a lot of factors, Jacob, that are weighing in for our not only livestock, but our grain folks as well.
Yeah, I think the headline news, that's been the topics, extremely rampant here in the last month, let's just call it. I think we're 4 weeks into this Iranian conflict that we're calling. It's almost like that Wayne's World movie where it's game on, game off. And I think that seeing the opening of the strait and then closing of the strait within 24 hours, it really has a lot of people just scratching their head and almost not trusting anything that comes out anymore. When information is getting to you so fast, so quick, but it's able to change so fast and so quick, it makes it really hard. It creates a lot of volatility. I mean, we're seeing crude oil that's up now almost $5 in the front month as we speak. And then we're looking on that directly affecting that bean oil, which that bean oil soybean meal spread has been really taking place today, where they're selling off from the mill and buying the oil back after they unwind it. But the headlines, what I think is one that go beyond the Iranian conflict and go beyond the Middle East and look at what's going on with China. If you remember a couple of weeks back, we saw the Chinese delegation say something about buying more non-soybean agriculture-related products. Cotton market has been on fire ever since. We're trading over 80 cents now in December. The July is even trading over 80 cents right now. You got some rumors and scuttle of some corn even being thrown in that mix with China.
Let's talk about the cattle on feed report that came out on Friday. Not a lot of reaction per se, but a mixed market, stuff we kind of pretty much already knew.
Yeah, so well, I think we're half a percent below the on the placings. So, that was anticipated, half a percent below what the expectations were, down in that 93% area. That was just, we expected that. I think the numbers came in slightly lower on the on-feed number. Marketings were slightly higher, but just barely misses on everything. So no big surprises on it. You dig deep into this report. It was a quarterly report that showed steers and heifers, and it still shows that the heifer numbers are lower than last year, but not not to a point where it's a major rebuilding number. And I think that you also got to look into what we're doing with the cattle that are on feed. With the 120 to 150 day cattle, they're heavier. They're much more. So that we know that we're getting them heavier. We see the results of this, but it's something that the packers are not having to, the feeders are able to continue to do that, and the grades are coming up. They're not having to push these cattle forward. And I think that that's something that we're just creating a little bit of inventory on the beef side. But I don't think that after the rumors of the border being opened up here, when that kind of fell through, I think the cattle market took a breath of fresh air on Friday, and we saw that storming all the way back from a limit down. You turn around today on Monday and you look and feeder cattle are back down to 450. So there's just tons of volatility in there right now. And I think it's definitely something that a producer should be paying attention to, because these markets sometimes can trade irrationally. When we, even when we get news that should be positive, sometimes we get some negative results.
And in the background, we've got the hogs just waiting patiently to be able to scoop up some of that demand.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the hog market has been something that has seen some really ugly trade over the last couple of weeks. I mean, we've been producing, production has been on tilt, and we've been able to push through some of the disease pressure, and they're just waiting. We're trading over 101 in the June contract right now, and so we finally, this is the first day that we've seen that if we close here, we'll be a positive close in the last, I think, 11 trading sessions in the front month. So they are poised and ready to go. The pork numbers have been building. And so I think that the inventory is there. It probably would be nice to see some of those specials. We're coming out of that Easter season, though, and getting into that summer grilling season where the beef will probably take over on that type of push. So seasonally, it's kind of not a good demand time. But whenever you're the cheaper product, that's kind of way out a little bit. They might be taking over the burgers, have a pork chop.
There we go. Jacob Burke's joining us this afternoon. Quick reminder to everybody that commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. And that's a Monday market wrap-up right here on the American Ag Network.